This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
First-time jobless claims coming in at just under 3 million last week, according to the Federal Labor Department. The president was speaking just before the release of those numbers about various ways to reboot the economy in the face of this much adversity. He's advocating, among other things, a payroll tax cut.
It's very easy to administer, and I'd like it for both the small companies, you know, et cetera, and the people, because it's a double. It's a company tag. It's also for the people, the worker.
A recently demoted government doctor, Rick Bright, is warning Congress today in testimony that, in his words, we could face the darkest winter in modern history unless there is clear planning and implementation to limit COVID-19. Bright is doing everything he can to get his job back as head of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, saying he was reassigned after not supporting some of President Trump's claims. This is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owner population, guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Now that coronavirus restrictions are being lifted, sports fans are very eager to see the games get started again. Republican U.S. Senator John Cornyn met with representatives from major league sports teams by phone and says there is a growing concern about liability.
They need some confidence that what they're doing won't get them in trouble, either legally or from a public health standpoint.
But Cornyn said all teams expressed an interest in restarting respective seasons, but it's still unclear if the games would be played in front of fans. The FBI is investigating Republican Senator Richard Burr to see if he was involved in insider trading based on information he obtained as a member of Congress. The Bureau is serving a search warrant on the Republican's home in Washington, D.C. yesterday, seizing his cell phone. Burr, chairing the Senate Intel Committee, did sell off large amounts of stock in February after the committee was getting daily coronavirus briefings, but before the stock market had tanked. And this is USA Radio News.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
More now on the coronavirus with some of the latest developments. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The World Health Organization's Dr. Michael Ryan says the effort to find a vaccine goes on in labs around the world. But he also cautions,
this virus may become just another endemic virus in our communities. And this virus may never go away. HIV has not gone away, but we've come to terms with the virus, and we have found the therapies, and we've found the prevention methods.
In their daily tally, Johns Hopkins University reports that the U.S. death toll from the coronavirus pandemic now stands at more than 84,100 people. That's roughly 29% of the world's total. Officials expect the actual number to be much higher.
More severe weather is headed to the central United States today, as last night's severe storms brought hail and damaging winds to parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And another round of such weather is expected today in that region. And then tomorrow, Friday, the threat of severe storms will be moving into the Northeast. Sales of pajamas are up. Sales of bras are down as millions work from home amid coronavirus restrictions. Adobe Analytics finding the prices for clothing fell by 12% over the last month. That helped lead to a 34% boost in sales. Pajamas the big winner, with online sales jumping over 140%. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's
800-368-0123. Track. Bill Martinez live.
And especially right now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of options and a lot of opinions flying out there. And I think that, a considerable degree, I believe they're valid, because we are in the realm of opinion. Some of these prescriptions that are coming out regarding the COVID-19 pandemic is that, it's scientific. And, people refer to the scientific data as if it's, absolutely perfect. But we're realizing that, based on the science that has been thrust upon we the people, we've shut down this economy, over 30 million people unemployed, 36 million now unemployed. I mean, the pain that is being felt in River City is immense. All that to say, though, is that I believe that all opinions at this point, because that's what we got. We've got more opinions than really true science and data, because you can argue each side of it. But this is the tension that is before us right now is, do we continue with this quarantine to whatever measure? Or do we begin to open things up as we're starting to do in varying states? I know the Governor Kemp was given a lot of heat because he became, the volunteer of the, canary in the coal mine here and opened up. And look what's happening in Georgia. I mean, so far, thank God, things are rolling out and, holding the line. And, nothing crazy is going on to where it would indicate that, he made some humongous mistake. But lest we forget, whether it's Governor Kemp or whatever governor in the state and the president of the United States, they all have their counselors. They all have their models that they're looking at right now. With us right now is Jake Ward, speaking of which, and we're going to talk business. And in that vein, he's the president of the Connected Commerce Council, the three C's, as we say, a membership organization for small businesses empowered by digital tools and technology, because this is the consideration, again, in the realm of the opinion. Can, this high technology be utilized in such a way that helps us open faster and smarter? Jake, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, that's the question, isn't it? Can big technology, can it be of service to small businesses in helping us open up quicker and smarter?
I think the technology generally has been of service to small businesses, particularly even before COVID, in ways that are unprecedented, and this is certainly an uncertain and destabilizing time, not only in our economic lives, but in our lives generally. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of questions. But we are, I think, unironically at a better position today to deal with something that's disruptive than we ever have been in terms of communications and working from home and being able to harness digital technology and online resources, e-marketing, and marketplaces to stay in business longer. It is unfortunate that that hypothesis is being tested in a way that has very real negative effects on far too many Americans, but that's where we are.
But, Jack, to your point, small business has been doing this for a long time. This is not like a, you know, a frontier experience for most small businesses, whether it's working out of their home and utilizing other techniques and technologies. They've been at the forefront of this. A lot easier and quicker for small businesses to move with new technology as long as it's in the realm of affordability as opposed to some of these big corporations, because it has to go through its massive bureaucracy and testing to make sure it can be embraced. But, you know, small businesses have been doing this. This has kind of been the life breath of small businesses, has it not?
That's absolutely right, Bill. Of the nearly 30 million small businesses in the United States, somewhere in the ballpark of 90% are using digital technologies to a varying degree. Those small businesses that have incorporated e-marketing, websites, search engine optimization, contract management software, those types of really affordable, scalable, and secure tools offered by companies we would generally think of as big tech, you know, your Google, Facebook, Salesforce, et cetera, but tailored for small business scale. Those tools have enabled small businesses to grow faster, sustain that growth longer, hire more employees, and make more money for years. We released a report in the middle of 2019 that just added more data to that file that we've been gathering for the past few years. And I'd actually go one step further and say that we believe there's a digital safety net that the small businesses of varying sizes across industry, serving different communities and living and working in different places, have a better chance of surviving this crisis and of bouncing back more quickly the deeper ingrained digital tools and technology are to their business model.
Exactly. Well, to this point, and with all this research that you've been putting together, what are the key strategies right now, Jake, that you're promoting for small businesses during COVID-19?
Whenever possible, we encourage our members to take this disruption as an opportunity to consider the decisions you've made and the investments you've made up to this point, and then from a position of strength, predict the future, right? Mm-hmm. What that means in practice is, if you're a mom-and-pop store that's been working on Main Street for 15 years and you had a website, but there wasn't a consistent prioritization of content on the website, or you didn't make your inventory available through the website in sort of an e-commerce way, mm-hmm. it's time to consider that, whether it's Shopify or eBay or using your own platform to sell goods while your doors are closed. Now is the time to consider expanding those borders. When we think about small businesses, frequently we consider the scale of the people and the communities they serve as being geographically confined, right? We can't sell goods and services beyond our town or beyond our state. But the truth is, it's a digitally interconnected world, but we can sell anything, anywhere, to anyone. And that is a remarkable opportunity for businesses. Again, these are not optimal circumstances, but one thing small businesses all have in common is a persistence that is deeply ingrained in the independence that led them to open small businesses in the first place. And from this desperation will come creativity, the same way that necessity led to ingenuity in the first place.
Yeah, and I referred to this earlier, Jake. I want you to expand on this a little bit more, and that has to do with immediacy. Small business can move a lot faster than bigger businesses, right?
That's right. That's right. The agility that comes from being a small business is an advantage. There's no question about it. We frequently tell members of varying sizes that in order to beat the competition as a small business, you need to do two things. One, be able to do better math, right? Your analytics have to be more accurate. You need to be considerably more in tune with whatever it is you're doing as a business. You need to understand what your customers are worth, where they are, and how they work. But the third thing you need to do is move faster. And the data that we can take from our everyday experiences is anecdotal and useful, but the analytics that we can apply to any sort of transaction or experience that we provide our customers, our users, the folks that we serve, is part of a larger effort that small businesses should make to move quickly and meet that need. I certainly feel for many small businesses who are undercapitalized at the outset of this crisis and are staring down the barrel of closing their doors for good. But I really think those small businesses that are able to weather this storm will have a leg up on larger businesses that they might have considered competition, because those larger corporations, though they had more capital, are losing market share every day, and their overhead is brutal.
We're talking strategies about small business as we look forward to coming out of quarantine and the effects of COVID-19. Jake Ward is with us, and we'll continue after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is Dan Perkins for Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? And the VA, along with Prevents, is calling for you to help inspire a national challenge. Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Post a photograph or video on your social media channels of what you are doing to take care of yours and your fellow veterans' emotional well-being. Show us what works for you. It might be yoga, painting, running, singing, video chatting with loved ones, walking your dog, baking cookies, movie time with your family. One size does not fit all, but we all need to practice things that helps maintain good mental health during this challenging time. Be creative, serious, funny, or touching. Hashtag more than ever before and challenge your friends, colleagues, and family members to join the challenge. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Spirit of Don't Tread on Me Alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Christian Independent we are, and we come to you Monday through Friday, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Jake Ward is with us, and we're going to continue talking about small businesses that have been really just, you know, their whole livelihood and ideas have been turned upside down. Can you imagine? I mean, all that these small businesses have invested and how they got into business to begin with, you know, getting families involved, borrowing money, you know, endless nights even before opening up their business, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, should I, could I? And here they make the big step and things are rolling along. I mean, you think about this, you know, you think about, wow, here we were not that many weeks ago. The most robust economy in the world, and now we're turned upside down. And so we can spend a lot of time, you know, trying to figure out, well, whose fault is it and all that. But I happen to side with those that say, look, at, let's just, you know, set that aside for a moment. Because people in small business understand that you can pursue, you know, negative things to your own demise. What we need to do is get America working, get these small business back in operating again, and the best form of revenge that we can have on the communists and those that have done this to us is to let America's economy come back bigger and stronger than ever before. You know, that is such sweet revenge when success like this happens. And I think this is the opportunity that is in front of small businesses today. Jake, what do you think?
I agree. Bill, that we have an opportunity to rebuild quickly, to rebound more quickly than perhaps we could imagine even 3 weeks ago, and that at the heart of that rebuild and rebound is going to be the same perseverance that led small business owners to take a chance in the first place.
Exactly.
A remarkable through line for all small business owners. None of us like to work for other people. Mm-hmm. That's how we got
right here.
And that the determination to have that independence and to make our own decisions will also guide us out of this.
In previous recessions, you know, reports and evidence prove that those organizations, small and large, who were able to maintain presence in the marketplace, in other form of advertising or marketing, they were the ones that came out of any kind of recession much stronger. And they were able to steal market share, so to speak. I mean, because it is, after all, it is competitive. And you've got to be raring to go when the bell opens. You got to be, you know, coming at it at full speed. You cannot kick back. And though you may be challenged to, you know, being depressed because business is down and all those things that will hold you back, but you've got to keep. You got to stay activated. This is important, and this is what's coming out even in the modern era. It's just now that we have different tools. We've got e-commerce and digital tools available that we didn't have before, which in a lot of ways is a very inexpensive way compared to mass media advertising and promotion, right?
It is. Online marketing, digital advertising are a great equalizer. They are auction-based. Driven largely, the value that a platform the size of Google or Facebook, Instagram, and others provide small businesses and their access to market and defining who they're going to sell to and who they're going to reach is untold, frankly. Mm-hmm. We're talking a critical component of modern small business.
And this is really a new frontier, though it's been around, you know, for decades. And I think the challenges that traditional businesses have had is they're so overwhelmed by business as usual. It's like, okay, how do I basically start this new, you know, this new pipeline in my business that's going to require a lot of time and investment and some creativity? Some people would like to say, well, this is, you know, it's easy, it's a no-brainer, you know, just hire somebody fresh out of college and they'll do this for you. But, you know, the person fresh out of college doesn't know the business like you do. And, you know, again, it falls on the shoulders of the entrepreneurs who have to be the ones to drive the, you know, the heart and soul of this digital tool, right?
There are barriers to entry for the adoption of digital tools. So there's no question about that. These are intuitive. They are relatively easy to use. But if you are already a successful business serving your community and you don't have grand plans of Fortune 500 success, that is a barrier to entry. Apathy through success is a reasonable consideration. One of the things that we've found among our members, we have nearly 10,000 now around the country, is that depending on when you started your business, or what industry you're in, you are more or less likely to abuse digital tools at the outset. Right? If your company is only 3 years old, you were doing online marketing from the beginning.
Exactly.
It was part of the reason that you launched your business in the first place.
Right.
But one of my board members is owns a small plumbing company in Kansas City, Missouri, and her transition, her aha moment, was when they decided to stop wasting money on printed yellow page ads and go all digital all the time. Mm-hmm. And they've seen a remarkable return on that investment and double growth since. Right.
No, that's great, and we're hearing stories like this all the time. But by the same token, you know, we wish that something, you know, any one thing could be the end all be all. But you know, some people are realizing again, this is the opportunity. You know, the marketplace has changed. The traditional marketplace of the yellow pages, it has been so dynamic, and especially in light. I mean, gosh, I remember when we made the transition from yellow pages to the penny saver. Remember?
Sure.
You know, and so now here we are with technology advancing and making some headwinds. And I think for a time, it's perfect for this time right now, because for those businesses that maybe have been behind, you know, in terms of getting up to speed with, you know, digital marketing, the pause in the economy has given them, you know, a grand opportunity to get caught up and move along to find out that, hey, you know, there is gold in them thar hills, but you got to mine it.
And small businesses universally have a higher capacity for uncertainty and for discomfort than those on payroll at large businesses. Right,
exactly.
What led them there in the first place.
What's your read, Jake, on you know all this money that Congress has been you know dedicating to small business? Are you seeing this as being effective or not?
Absolutely. There's no question that it's effective. There were missteps. The Lakers probably didn't need $4.5 million as part of their salary cap, but the number of small businesses that have been positively affected by bridge loans and grants from the SBA program, it's immeasurable, frankly, so far, right? There's actually $100 billion left in the funds right now because we have to some degree, staunched the bleeding among small businesses. There was a real time of uncertainty at the outset of sort of the nationalized stay at home where small businesses didn't know where their next paycheck was coming from. But millions of them figured it out in the first couple of weeks. Millions more received critical monies from the SBA loan programs. But also, that's their money.
Yes.
Right? This is funds coming from our tax dollars that we pay in as small business owners, as consumers, every year, and when we need it most, it's great that it was there.
Yes.
Could it have been handled a little bit better? Sure. But the application process was pretty clean. They were trying to build the airplane while flying it. I give some credit to the SBA for pulling this together and for Congress for continuing to fill up the tank.
Yeah. Well, I kept thinking, you know, the pipeline. I mean, we had a pipeline that was only so large to handle X amount of dollars. And and we said, we're going to try to push through the same pipeline, maybe 100 times as much in a short order. Wow, I mean, you talk about stressors. So yes, I think though you could be critical at certain points, I think a lot of people were served. It wasn't perfect, but I think through the process we learned a lot, did we not, Jake?
I think we did. I think we also need to tip our hat to private industry. For, you know, large companies, platforms like Google and Facebook and Intuit that stepped into the void and put out grant programs and loan programs for small businesses, particularly and especially in communities that they serve directly, that they have physical presence in, that also helped, right? Every bit of stabilizing revenue helped to support the needs of small businesses and came just in the nick of time.
Exactly. Jake Ward, president of the Connected Commerce Council. Jake, how can small businesses be in touch with you?
ConnectedCouncil.org is the website. You can join. Membership is free for the first 2 years for all small businesses. You can also use the Fund Finder tool on the website if you are a small business searching for bridge loans, grants,
Got to leave it there. Thanks, Jake. Take care.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right.
It's a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. First-time jobless claims coming in at just under 3 million last week, according to the Federal Labor Department. The president was speaking just before the release of those numbers about various ways to reboot the economy in the face of this much adversity. He's advocating, among other things, a payroll tax cut.
It's very easy to administer, and I'd like it for both the small companies, you know, et cetera, and the people, because it's a double. It's a company tag. It's also for the people. The worker.
A recently demoted government doctor, Rick Bright, is warning Congress today in testimony that, in his words, we could face the darkest winter in modern history unless there is clear planning and implementation to limit COVID-19. Bright is doing everything he can to get his job back as head of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, saying he was reassigned after not supporting some of President Trump's claims. This is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy, and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your call. The strength of my soul. You've come so far, keep going. Here comes the comeback.
Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It is time for VDH Victor Davis Hanson to join us, a senior fellow in military history at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, a professor emeritus of classics at California State University Fresno, author of some, two dozen books and counting. Of course, the recent most celebrated one, The Case for Trump, that the president gave you a nice shout out the other day, huh?
I didn't hear it, did he? I didn't.
He tweeted. I said, "Great new book, The Case for Trump, by Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Senior Fellow." So that was a nice deal, and I thought that maybe the president should have extra copies, so when he deals with this antithetical mainstream media and these got you people, that he might give them the book. So in lieu of a maybe a 20-hour recitation on all the great things the president has done on behalf of the country, they could read your book and get a real quick summary and proven research to back it up.
Well, I hope they would see why they lost in 2016 and why I think they're headed for the same destiny, since they don't seem to have learned anything or forgotten anything.
Well, that's the problem with ideologues, right? I think another author has says that you can get yourself so siloed and ideologically fixed that you render yourself stupid. because you're not open for conversation. You're not really advancing the debate. You are stubbornly set in your own fixation.
I think so. I think they get into a bubble, and so they have these fake news things that Trump says to drink Lysol or Clorox, and they go crazy for a day, and then the next thing is that he wants to use UV, ultraviolet light inside your lungs, or just a distortion, and then they get way off on the tangent, and they talk to each other, and then they convince each other that he's going to lose, and look at this poll, and look at that, and they never look at the landscape, and what they're doing now is the narrative was that Trump didn't react quickly enough to the virus, and therefore he's killing thousands of people. I think Nancy Pelosi said he killed white people, died, and people in New Hampshire, somebody said he had blood on his hands. And now, as the virus has peaked, and I think it's going in warm weather, and maybe mutations, or maybe the social distancing is starting to decline, I think the new narrative will be Trump kept us in too long, and now he's Herbert Hoover who ruined the economy. But the common denominator is that whatever he's for, there even in time of crisis, they're against.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's clear. And for Nancy Pelosi as a leader in the House to make these kind of statements on behalf of the American people is disgusting. This is not fair, but this is the problem, and this is why we're at each other's throat right now at a time when we should be unified against this invisible enemy. We have such a division in our country that is really compromising blue state governors as well, because I've maintained, Victor, that these blue state governors, had they been in unity, not in total agreement with the president, but at least in unity with the mission objective, they'd have been better served, and they would have been part of a united voice. Instead, we have states that are on their own disparate perspective, and they're really misserving their constituency, are they not, by doing that?
Yeah, I think the data, I don't want to be partisan, but the data supports that. I think there's a piece in Law and Liberty today by James Rogers that analyzes state governors' reactions vis-a-vis and their legislatures vis-a-vis fatalities from the coronavirus adjusted for population. And the blue state governors haven't done as well. And it's not because, you know, they're bad people. He just says that they either got an ideological bent, or they were rigid, they were not flexible and reacted to the data, or they were not prepared for this emergency in a way that other people, because they had other agendas on that they were more concerned with. And when you look at the total number, I guess we're up to near 75,000 have died. Mm-hmm. Well, about 55% of them come from just three states, Massachusetts, exactly, New Jersey, and New York. And if you look at their population, they're only about 11 or 12% of the entire population of the country, and yet they've got 55% of the deaths. And the question is, well, why do the three biggest states, Texas, Florida, and California, maybe it's population density, maybe it's weather, but they're 90 million people, and they only account for, I think it's 5,500 of the 7,500 deaths.
75,000 deaths,
that,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 75,000, excuse me. I think the answer is that there were some really bad decisions made concerning the subways, not cleaning them, not social distancing them in New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts, as well as that disastrous order, which I think was the worst thing that's happened, of ordering these infected patients into these very vulnerable nursing homes in New York. And
that became a killing field, basically, by doing that, right?
It was. And what I can't figure out about it, maybe you can help me, is why, given that culpability on the part of Andrew Cuomo, is he considered sort of a national progressive icon because of his press conferences, whereas everything he said has been accurate. He was basically telling us that if Trump didn't give him 24,000 ventilators, he was going to have to choose who was going to live and die. And then when he got all of these ventilators, they weren't used, and he wanted a hospital ship. And then there was just a misallocation of resources, because there were some hospitals where corpses were piling up, and then others where they were completely empty. And yet he was every day going on there as sort of a hands-on executive and often attacking the president. So, and then I don't know how that equates into effective leadership of the sort that would recommend you to be president.
Well, it really doesn't. I think Dan Crenshaw, he has written an excellent book, a former SEAL congressman, and who lost an eye in serving our country in the Middle East. And, people may see the book and they go, oh, this is another SEAL story. No, it really is a common sense approach. And he talks about, in fact, his approach is very similar to the Admiral, if you remember, that spoke to the graduating class, I think it was in Virginia, and said the first thing you need to do every day is make your bed. You know, if you make your bed, that's going to be a big difference, right? So very practical stuff like, why do you leave your shopping cart out in the aisle of the parking lot? Why don't you bother to just take it back and put it away? I mean, simple things like that. But my point, one of the things, key points that he makes in SEAL training that he learned is called still. That when things happen to you, you need to grab an assessment, have some situational awareness, and be still and assess what's going on. And I think that what happened when this thing got caught up, people reacted emotionally, they abandoned reason, and they started reacting, and the president got captured into this as well, because the political forces and the mainstream media just said, hey, even though it was kind of interesting, as you said earlier, he was maligned for not for shutting down the airport, and then later on was congratulated for doing that, and was estimated that he saved millions of lives for shutting down the airport, but Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and the antitheticals have to find a reason to be contrarian, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Trump was so sensitive to the charge that he was unscientific or not listening to experts. And my only criticism is that he was a little bit less critical. In other words, when we look back at what Anthony Fauci said in January, that this virus was nothing to worry about. It was like a severe flu year. Or when we were told by the Surgeon General or the CDC or the NIH that always wear masks, never wear masks, sometimes wear masks. Or we're told that you can get infected by touching surface. No, it's by droplets. No, it's by aerosol, coughing. And then we were told antibodies give you immunity, sort of immunity, maybe not, we don't know. The virus is mutating, it's not going to be as lethal. No, it's mutating, it's going to get more lethal. Ventilators are what saves people's lives. No, don't put somebody on a ventilator, they'll die from it. And we got all of these experts with these alphabetic letters after their name that were so haughty. Mm-hmm. 2 million are going to die. No, 300,000. No, 80,000. No, 60. No, 80. And
yes.
Finally, the public just said, you know what? These are not doctors on the front lines that are dealing with real patients that see how to treat them and learning empirically whether hydroxychloroquine works or not, or they're knowing where you could have got. We've got to listen to these people.
And we're going to talk more about that as well. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Victor Davis Hanson after this.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you. Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life, from germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids. 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
The spirit of Don't Tread on Me Alive. Bill Martinez, live.
America, Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're continuing our conversation with Victor Davis Hanson, the author of the book, The Case for Trump. And we've got an updated version of the book, right? Paperback that's been out since since early March that the president gave a big shout out to and congratulated you on. So that's good news. So tell our audience about the paperback that's available now.
Well, I updated it right after the election and right before impeachment, but I try to revise things, but I didn't have to revise much. I just sort of said in the original hardback, I had warned people that they had not listened to the people and then underestimated the resilience of Trump, and mm-hmm. that while he would be impeached, he wouldn't be convicted. I think that was right. And right. that the Mueller investigation was going to come to nothing, which it did come to nothing, but that they would continue to try to find any means necessary to achieve their end of aborting his presidency, and I think they're still doing it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I want to go back to what you were saying earlier in terms of the buy-in that the president, I believe, was forced to hold on to and go along with in terms of these doctors and these scientists. And then we find out here recently that Professor Neil Ferguson, the academic whose modeling evidence has been central to not just England and Boris Johnson, France, I think the World Health Organization depression as well. And if you go back to the early reports of his credibility, I mean, we're talking, he's the founder and his colleagues of the Imperial College, the MRC Center for Global Infectious Disease Analysis. These are the same people that gave us those outlandish models for global warming, which never happened. So how does he live another day to have enough credibility to influence the World Health Organization, all these countries, but particularly the United States, to shut us down? How does that happen?
Well, I wrote an article about it called the Eeyore Syndrome, and what I meant by that was that, and the University of Washington has been as culpable as those the modders in California that said by now we'd have 25 million cases and about a million dead, or Mike DeWine who said on March 12th there was already 100,000 cases, which at the death rate would be 2,500 in Ohio, which they haven't reached yet. Mm-hmm. So why do these people get away with it without any culpability or remorse? And the answer is they always pose as the pessimist, and then it's a win-win situation, they think, because they say, well, I was wrong, mm-hmm. it turned out, but because I scared you, I did that deliberately to scare you with this model, and then you made the necessary adjustments, so my model has to react to that. But if I hadn't have given you this 2 million dead, then you might not have enacted the policies. And then if they happen to be right, they said, well, I warn you, with a poor optimist, when he is more realistic and less emotional, they say, well, you're only right because I scared people, and then they did things, and they made your prognosis more correct. And then, of mm-hmm. course, the optimist, if he's off a little bit, then, well, you've got blood in your hands. You underestimated
exactly.
it. And that's why they do it. That's why they're so pessimistic. And all of these doctors have been, and no one's ever said, we were hearing at the very beginning 3 to 4%, four people in every 100, not one or two in every 1,000 were going to die.
Right.
And I think you know, the virus has got this name Corona. If it was influenza C, just the name, even though it's a different virus, it wouldn't have terrified people. But it's a very deadly disease. If it gets into your lungs mm-hmm. and you're one of these very vulnerable groups, it can be a horrible thing. But for most people, it doesn't get to that stage either because they're active or they're younger or they don't have health issues or they're not exposed to an initial viral load of thousands of vira. But mm-hmm. They don't tell us that. And that's what's really disturbing, that life is a matter of choices. Every day we make choices, even though we're not aware that we're doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be I'm really worried about the toll living here in the San Joaquin Valley of California mm-hmm. in a very impoverished community. What it's doing to small entrepreneurs, farm laborers, people who work in plants, Uber driver, the whole gig economy, they're getting wiped out. And then if you go to a doctor's office, there's no one there, and there's nobody in the hospital emergency rooms. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a neutron bomb hit the United States, and it left the infrastructure, but it's destroying lives.
Well, the very thing that Donald Trump warned us about, and that is do not let the cure be worse than the disease. I mean, we're right there, are we not?
I think we are. And there were a lot of voices, especially where I work at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, and very liberal Stanford Medical School people, nevertheless, were very, very empirical, and they warned us again and again and again that the virus had been here earlier, that it had spread wider, and that we were not using the proper denominator, that it wasn't as lethal as we were told, and that there were going to be real costs to shutting down this government. And they were absolutely right, and they were absolutely demonized for it. That's what I resent the most, is two things. Is one, the medical community is censoring people who are on the front lines and they have legitimate concerns or they have practical experience or they want to contribute to the discussion, and they're not being listened to. And then these governors are destroying the First, the Second, and the Fourth and Fifth Amendments under the guise that, you know, this is World War II or the Civil War, and they can suspend habeas corpus or something. And it's really scary how quickly that they assume power based on so little actual national threat. I mean, I'm speaking from a state of 40 million people, and we've had 2,200 people die, and we lose 800 a day from other causes.
Exactly.
And so we shut the fifth largest economy in the world down.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm concerned about, and I know you say to this as well, Victor, is that this conditions us. I mean, this is a whole new level of reaction and fear-mongering that we, the people, have been conditioned to respond to. And we need to quickly assess what happened to us so that we can push back on these draconian measures that some of these governors have taken. They've overstepped their bounds. Bill Barr has stepped in and said, you know, we can't allow these draconian measures and these aggressive steps that some of these governors have been taking, and they're moving against some of these governors. But it really is, as it comes down to, this is a government of for by we the people. We the people need to be informed so that they can intelligently respond to not let this happen to us again, because this is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and it's very different even than the 2008 meltdown, the dot-com meltdown, or the Great Depression, because the fundamental principles of this economy are very sound, and we've got great infrastructure. We're not at war, and we're dealing with a virus, and we've done it in 1958, 1967, 68, that killed over 100,000 Americans. We dealt with it without destroying an economy. And more importantly, as you said, I'm worried that we're inculcating to millions of people that you can stay home and get paid, and there's something noble about not going out of your house. And that becomes sort of a lotus eater, you know,
exactly,
sort of lounge around attitude. And it's going to be very hard for people to reacculturate and say, you know what, I got to get out there and go attack the day and get out and take my normal risk and build and create. And if I get ill, and I always do this during the flu season, so I'm going to do it now. If I get ill, I'm going to deal with that, but I'm not going to sit here a prisoner of this virus.
Well, the other thing, too, I think we need to be careful to keep our eye on the ball and not get distracted. I know there's a lot of controversy happening on the Hill regarding China. Want to blame China, look for some, you know, some sort of compensation, that sort of thing, as opposed to doing what you said, and that is we got to get back to work. I have found in my experience that if I start focusing too much energy and attention on that which is lost as opposed to that which can be found, it is deleterious. And that's just my experience. And I think we're running a risk here to emotionalize this topic. I'm not saying that China should be able to get off scot-free, but I think we need to use a measured emotional response and investment to that particular issue. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think that the best way to get even with China is to get back and return to the world's largest economy and then tell our trading partners this is our version of an economic system, and it works, and we're going to supply the world with ventilators and test kits, and we're back at work, and we're producing goods, and look at this system over here. It doesn't work very well. It's dishonest, but that's a much better approach than let's cancel Chinese debt or let's do this or that to them. And so I'd rather be very strong and then humiliate them by our strength than just sit around and say, you owe us this and you owe us that. We're going to do this to you. They don't have any respect for weakness. They don't have any respect for magnanimity. The only thing they respect is strength and power. And that's what we have to get back to. And once we're that way, we'll be in a position to say to them, you know what? This trade thing has to be resolved. You were culpable. Do you want to resolve it? Because you're in a very weak position now. Because their brand has suffered all over the world. But the way to do that is not sit around in your house and then whine that they did this to us. It's to say, you know what? They did their best, their worst, and they still didn't screw us over. We still recovered. And that's our attitude that we have to have.
Yeah, I believe, like you, that we have an opportunity to come back stronger. Experience defines preference, and I think that we're going to find ourselves manufacturing our own products again, having more control of the things that we subordinated to China at a grave expense. We're seeing what the cost has been. And so we say to all the manufacturers and businesses and the new ideas coming down to the pike, you know, welcome home. America is open for business, and we're excited. He is the author of the book, The Case for Trump, now released in paperback, updated. Victor Davis Hanson right here on Bill Martinez Live. Victor, always appreciate it, Professor. You're awesome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Maybe not today.